Broadcasting from Alito to Alton, from Champaign to Chicago, and from Robinson to Rockford, this is the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com.
It's just a Sports Spectacular. Hopefully you're enjoying a great holiday weekend wherever you are. Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kegley. We've got a cast of thousands here. We've got Patrick Quinn doing audio. We've got Deion Thomas coming later. Man, we're going to talk to Matt Stevens in a moment about football. Basketball is going on. Guys, though, this is the week, though, for football. National Signing Day on Wednesday. We've talked before. I love that they've had this at this extra period. And in fact, I just talked with a young man, actually, who was on his way to Kentucky, quarterback from the Lexington area. And he said the same thing. He said, it's great to have this early and the guys you thought you were going to be going to school with, going to camp with in January, and you're going to be, playing with hopefully next 4 or 5 years to see all them coming. And it just, I think it makes it, I always hated before when you had coaches that worked so hard on a kid for 6 months, 8 months, a year, year and a half, and then you lose him in the final weeks because someone else comes in and takes him away from you.
Yeah. I love the early signing period. I think it's really good. I think it's good for college football to have this. Although I will say that if I'm a college football coach right now with signing day, the transfer portal, bowl game prep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I am just, my hair is falling out. Well, what's left. Yes. But yeah, no, so you get the, I mean, yeah, it's crazy time, but I think it's good to have the early signing period. We saw a lot of flips today. We saw a lot of chaos, this week rather. It was a lot of fun. But Illinois didn't lose anybody, so I guess that's good.
Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. I will tell you one thing. I'm kind of for moving this early signing up even earlier. And then maybe you have an August signing period, and then you have a February one, because boy, it would make working the transfer portal much easier, because a coach would know what holes they have, at least from the recruiting class side, that need to be worked on. But you know, I'm not certain that what I think has any weight at all.
It doesn't, except right here on the show.
we care, Mike.
Thank you very much.
I'm just here to be honest with you. We're not going to sugarcoat it. But you know what? That's a great point. And next year with the 12-team playoff, it just gets much more complicated. To Brad's point, I can't imagine. Illinois no bowl game this year, but imagine if you've got that on top of everything else you're trying to maneuver. It's just a mess. I'm going to bring Matt in a moment. I want to get your thoughts before we start on how Illinois did with this signing period. We saw some people commenting on the IlliniGuys.com message board. By the way, some of the smartest fans anywhere. We love the community we've got there on the message forums. And they were saying that this feels like you have some higher ranked prospects that you've inked this year than in past years. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would think so. I think there's a lot of guys near the line of scrimmage that have been higher ranked than Brett Bielema and the staff have gotten in the previous two classes. I'm thinking about guys like AJ Dennis, the most recent flip from Michigan State, the offensive guard that could come in and play pretty early in his career. I'm thinking about Eddie Turk, who it was confirmed. I always thought Eddie Turk was going to play offensive line, but apparently he's going to play defensive line at Illinois, which is probably a more needed position anyway. He was always pretty highly ranked. And then I'm of the belief that I kind of agree with Brett Bielema on this, that Brandon Hansen would have been more highly ranked had he not committed 18 months before today. And so that kind of made everybody kind of feel like they're just going to ignore Brandon Hansen for the next year and a half because they don't have about him. But if he'd have decommitted and then gotten back and then opened back up his recruitment, I don't wonder if he would have added an extra star to his name, because there were going to be some high profile schools that were already contacting him this past fall about how committed he was to the University of Illinois, and they found out he was really, really committed. So yeah, I think offensive and defensive line help was a lot more substantial in this 2024 class than Brielema has ever produced in his previous two full classes at Illinois.
Yeah, I think when I look at this too, I like the offer lists of these guys. You know, you're beating Big 10 and, you know, Big 12 and formerly Pac 12 teams. instead of, you know, and there are some they beat Mac for. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat, but they're not beating. Their best players are guys that they beat other Power 5 high major teams for. And I think that's important, right, Matt?
Yeah, I would agree, Brad. I've made the argument on our boards at IlliniGuys.com that the one thing I've asked Brett Bielema to do in terms of recruiting is start to win significant recruiting battles. I don't remember in the previous two classes how many significant recruiting battles he'd won. I remember they beat Tennessee for Gabe Yakus really late in the process, and I thought that was huge. And you found out him being a freshman All-American the following fall, how big that was. But when you're beating, you know, SEC schools for, you know, AJ Dennis, when you're beating, you know, Big Ten programs for Eddie Turk, when you're beating the possibility of SEC schools for your quarterback and Trey Petty, you're beating them off. I think that that's a huge deal. I think that Khalil Valentine as a tailback had the opportunity to go to pretty much any power conference school he wanted out West, and he decided to stick with Illinois. So I think that those are huge things that happen. And then I think, you know, you got like Brandon Hansen, who I know for a fact that Alabama and Michigan both came in really, really hard on him and tried to flip his commitment from Illinois, and it just wasn't going to happen. There are so many reasons why Brandon Hansen wants to be an Illini. And then, obviously, again, I go back to Eddie Turk. Eddie Turk could have easily been a Michigan Wolverine today. Easily could have been. But you're talking about a legacy kid who has a lot of people in his family tree telling him that he needs to be at Illinois. And whether or not that had a huge part of the process for Eddie, I think that it did, but I also think that the significant sell of Terrence Jameson and maybe playing right away was also a big selling point for somebody like that.
You know, when you look at these guys, is there any one or two recruits that you have, you know, covered and as a reporter looking at the roster that you really think I'm going to keep an eye on this guy?
Daniel Brown, the junior college linebacker rush end, young man who led all of junior college football and all over the nation in sacks and in tackles for loss. I think that when you have somebody like Seth Coleman right now, who's still trying to figure out what he wants to do from an NFL draft decision point, Daniel Brown is somebody who, when Charlie Bowlen gets his hands on him this spring and can get, you know, him in his fundamentals, you know, secured as well as he can. If Seth Coleman is not around this spring, I fully suspect that guy to be somebody who could contend for a starting spot alongside Gabe Yakus and Alec Bryant at the outside linebacker position. So that's somebody that I'm circling as a junior college transfer recruit from, you know, Rhett Bielema has usually had success with, but the 2023 class was really disappointing in that regard. Daniel Brown is somebody who I think can come in and make an impact. And I think that when you're looking at Illinois needing to get more pressure on the quarterback, even at 6'1" and only 40 pounds, he has the ability from a leverage standpoint. When you look at his film, Daniel Brown has the ability to be able to use whatever God has given him in order to get into the backfield a significant amount against high level junior college competition. He was a high school academic qualifier also. So I don't think the jump academically or socially to the University of Illinois is going to be a big impact for him. So he's somebody that I'm definitely circling and saying in the spring, I want to see what his impact could be.
Talking with Matt Stevens again is the Illini Guys football writer and analyst, and just some tremendous work this week. Matt, you know, I brag about you, but this week, I mean, if you, Matt, on IlliniGuys.com, Matt did a breakdown bio of every single signee, wrapped the day as well. So really, we encourage you here over the weekend. Get in there and know your future Illini. He did a great job with that. Matt, coming off a 5-7 season that was below expectations, and looking at the players they were able to hold on to and to get them to sign on the dotted line, how big of a success or not so much was this? I mean, we're talking about a team again that, you know, we're still looking to have that consistency, right? Back-to-back winning seasons that we haven't had in quite a while. It mm-hmm. seemed to me that they managed to overcome that and still get, like you mentioned, some guys like, you know, Trey Petty and AJ Dennis and Khalil Valentine, not to mention some others, some really solid, solid prospects, despite having a season that wasn't what they had hoped to have.
I was impressed by the idea that Illinois was able to maintain what they had this summer. I think that's kind of the point you're trying to make here, Larry. It could have been easy for Trey Petty to look at the new situation at Mississippi State where you can throw, I swear to God, you can throw a stone from 50-yard line at Starkville High and hit Mississippi State University. You can. I trust me. Ask me how I know. Easy for him to look at Jeff Lebby, the new head coach, and that new offensive scheme and that new system and say, you know what? I'm going to stay home. Like, that's cool. Like, great. Mama gets to, like, have me stay home. Like, but that was never going to be in the cards because he was always going to enroll in January, and they were able to keep that, even as Ole Miss was trying to get involved with that, even as other SEC schools were trying to get involved with Trey Petty, like, outside of Mississippi, were trying to get involved with Trey Petty. It really seemed like he and his mom were insistent on the idea that they wanted Barry Lunney to be his offensive coordinator and his quarterback coach. They wanted Brett Bielema to be his head coach. And they also wanted to reunite with Luke Altmaier and his family, who, you know, they have a connection with because Trey was his backup quarterback when Luke was winning state championships at Starkville High. So that seemed to be that indication. The Khalil Valentine thing, it would have been so easy for him to go to any, you know, former Pac-12, now probably current Big 12 school, that best. It would have been easy for him to do that, but yet I think he saw what is developing in that running back room, and I think he was impressed by that. And he's somebody who, as you saw this year, better be ready to play because the amount of injuries that running back room suffered through this past year allowed Caden Fagan to showcase what exactly how high of a talent he is. And that's somebody where I think the when you look at back-to-back four-star recruits coming out of the running back position, that's highly impressive to me, seeing as how both of those guys have distinctly different running styles and characteristics. And so that's exciting. And then I would say lastly, Illinois knew they needed to solidify the defensive line. They knew they needed to solidify the offensive line. And I think to the best of their ability with what they're able to recruit with, I think that they did that, especially on the offensive line. If you add in the transfer portal, you know, commitment additions that they got like hours after Brett Bielema's press conference today, it was so funny, guys. He's literally holding his cell phone in his left hand the entire time and starts the press conference with, if this thing rings, I'm leaving you immediately, because he knew that like there were transfer portal calls that were going to happen. But if you allow for the transfer portal additions to come into play during signing day today, Bart Miller starts the spring, I believe, with at least seven guys that he could know for a fact on the first day of spring, I can put them in a Big Ten game. That is so significantly better than where Illinois was in the middle of this past season on the offensive line. I can't possibly explain that to you. And then when you lose Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph on your defensive line, and then you lose Denzel Daxon, who just got a Senior Bowl invitation in Mobile, they knew they had to restock the defensive line. And I do think that they brought in guys who will be very, very high-level prospects and high-level players when they reach their upperclassman status at the University of Illinois, Eddie Turk being one, Demetrius John being another, and Antonio McCollum being another. I think that the defensive line was a significant upgrade from what Terrence Jamison's been able to do the first two full recruiting classes of the Brett Bielema era.
Yeah, and that would be my – what about the they do have some portal guys in the defensive line as well. And they're going to provide some needed depth. For me, that's probably still the biggest hole looking at next season.
No doubt about it. I don't think there was a possibility, Brad, of bringing in players that were going to be at the level of a Johnny Newton or a Keith Randolph in the portal for Illinois. That was impossible for Brett Bielema's staff to accomplish. So you wipe that off the table, and you basically say, hey, I need jumps. I think the spring's going to be really, really interesting for Tamish Jamerson's group. He needs significant jumps from the guys played very, very little behind Newton and Randolph this season. He needs significant player development jumps from them. And then I do believe that, you know, I think Eddie Turk could get like the Alex Bray treatment where he plays, you know, a decent amount as a true freshman. And I think that because they think he can play eventually, and maybe not as a true freshman, but they think he can play all three defensive line spots that they ask their guys to play eventually. That's the surprise to me. I keep going back to that because I had him pegged for offensive line pretty much this entire recruiting session or recruiting cycle. And then when they announced him as a defensive line, suddenly the depth in Terrence Jameson's group, I think, jumped significantly because he is that good of enough of an athlete that I feel like when all of the other, you know, high level, I would say, programs like a Michigan, like an Ohio State, like a lot of other, like Wisconsin, were going after him as a defensive lineman. I thought Illinois sell similar to how they got Isaiah Williams to come in, like Lovie got Isaiah Williams to come in years ago. Hey, well, why don't you come here and you'll play quarterback? I thought the sell for Eddie Turk was, hey, why don't you come in here and we'll let you play offensive line. That wasn't the sell. The sell was Eddie Turk was your great grandparents went here, your grandma went here, your sister's going to be in grad school here, your parents went here. Why don't you come here too? And it just made so much sense. And then he actually, I think, is going to be a higher level player as a defensive lineman.
No question. And keep in mind, he is, as you mentioned in the story that you wrote about him, U.S. Army All-American this year.
Yep. He'll be on NBC. He'll be on that game again on NBC. I think it's the third straight year Illinois had a player in that game.
That's exciting. Hey, Matt, we appreciate all your great work this week. Merry Christmas to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Not a problem. Happy holidays, guys.
Okay. All right. Matt Stevens here. Once again, check out his good work on IlliniGuys.com. He's the football writer and analyst for the website, does so much work for us. And he was busy this week. Go on the website and see. This guy was, I mean, have carpal tunnel come January. Hey, stay with us. We got coming up. It's basketball on the way. Illinois taking on Missouri. And a bit later, Deion Thomas joins us as well. This is a Sports Spectacular powered by the IlliniGuys.com.
Isn't easy. You need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Back here on the show and still enjoying the fruits of Friday night, 97-73 Illinois. Just destroying Missouri in the bragging rights game. Brad Sturdy was right there courtside. Brad looked really good on TV. Had to look even better in person.
It was amazing. I mean, Illinois just dominated the action from start to finish. Well, defensively was great in the first half. And you know, they were great offensively all night. They scored almost, I think it was 1.385 points per possession, which is just fantastic. Against a Missouri team that turns it over on, you know, turns teams over like 21% of their possessions, have multiple games with over 20 turnovers. They only had 10 turnovers. The weird part about it is they scored 97 points and they win by, you know, 24. And the game one wasn't that close. I mean, it really was. It was over at halftime. Quincy Guerrier said that after the game. I thought it was over at halftime. And it really was. But the other thing that was really interesting was it seemed like they shot the ball so well. And they really just shot the ball okay. They were 11 of 33 from three. I mean, it's conceivable that, you know, and Marcus Damascus over seven. I mean, that was an easy shooting game, and they still scored 97 points.
There was really no area of the game that Illinois didn't dominate. It was very fun to watch, and it was very interesting to see the Illini team do the little things that you expect of an older team. One is they shared the basketball, made the extra pass. And on the defensive end, there was a lot of help defense that a fan might not notice, but preventing drives, preventing things from happening because the teammate's there and ready to help out the defender who's on ball. It was really fun to watch.
Well, and to your point, the 17 assists, you know, that's a season high right there. And guys, here's where I think this team can be very dangerous and very special. We see Terrence Shannon get his 30 points, even though he went stretches without scoring, right? I mean, you know, and he didn't have a great night of the free throw line by his standards. Quincy Guerrier comes in and scores 28. That's a career high. Coleman Hawkins at 15, 13 in the first half. Damascus on second half has 10. If you can have this where you have your other players, your other role players, right, have that kind of production, and Terrence Shannon do what Terrence Shannon do, that's where this team can get, it gets interesting. If you had this kind of performance night in, night out.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, and you know, you even have guys. I mean, Luke Goody only had 6 points. We've seen him score in double figures. Ty Rogers, we've seen score double figures. So Justin Harmon, we've seen get double figures. Dane Danger, we know, has scored double figures. So, I mean, they got a lot of guys who can score. It's interesting. There have been two teams this year in college basketball, or two times this year, where two teammates have scored 28 or more points. Illinois against FAU with Marcus Tomasik and Terrence Shannon. And Illinois against Missouri tonight with Mark Terrence Shannon and Quincy Guerrier. So wow. That's a pretty impressive stat.
Yeah, that is just such a good performance. And I found myself almost, you know, of course, last year you would have said the opposite, but I was almost wishing they had talked some recruits into going down to St. Louis and watching the game, because they looked just unbelievably well-oiled machine tonight.
So, fellas, they go into the holiday break now. Brandon, I'm assuming, get a couple days off before they begin preparing for Fairleigh Dickinson. That's a team that they should beat. If the name sounds familiar to the casual fan, that's the team that has a 16th seed made history by knocking off top seed Purdue in the opening round of last year's NCAA tournament. You get past that game. Now you get into Big Ten play. You're at home against Northwestern, which was ranked for a minute before they fell apart against Chicago State. And then the big game at Purdue, 2 weeks from last night. What do you know now about this team? How do you feel about this team now going into this next stretch of a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in a really good spot. I mean, Brad Underwood's teams tend to play better once they get into Big Ten season. So this is a team that's playing really well right now. And so if they can continue on this, you know, path and, where they're, obviously playing extremely well on both ends of the ball, they have a chance to compete with Purdue. That game on January 5th literally could be two top five teams at the rate we're going. I said top 10. I think a lot of people are going to vault Illinois up into the top 10 now. And you got a couple more weeks of games, or another week of games here, where some teams are going to lose. I think it's very possible they're in the top five even at that point. And that's really good. And this is a team that can compete for the Big Ten title. You know, they're already one game up on Purdue. You forget Purdue already lost one game. Illinois 1-0 in the Big Ten. Now they got to, they start off, they take care of business against Northwestern. Then you go at Purdue, and that would be a great. And Illinois gets to play them when the students aren't on campus. So that's always never a bad thing.
Yeah, and the other thing is Dennis Gates, the Missouri coach, started off by saying that's a Final Four team, and then said that's a team that should win the Big Ten. So they converted somebody who had a front row seat to the game. That's pretty impressive, because Dennis Gates knows basketball.
Yes, he does. Illinois doing it in so many ways. Again, we mentioned 17 assists, season high, only 10 turnovers on this one by a team that plays really good defense. 97-73. So Illinois goes to 9-2. They've got a chance now next week to win 10 games before January 1st for the first time since 2017. That's what Illinois is looking at right now. Again, 97-73, FDU coming up next Friday, and then into Big Ten play, home against Northwestern on the 2nd, and then at Purdue on the 5th. By the way, make sure you check out IlliniGuys.com for a complete wrap-up, interviews with coaches and players, and also Matt Stevens was there, has his wrap as well. Stay with us. The legend, Deion Thomas, joins us next here on the Sports Spectacular, all along the Illini Guys Radio Network.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
Hi, Larry Smith here with details on a special Illini Guys deal with one of the premier home building and remodeling companies in Greater Chicago, HX Home Solutions. If you live in the Chicago area, or if you know someone who does, and your home or business is in need of attention, call HX. Tell them you're with the Illini Guys and get $1,000 off your project. They offer full residential, commercial, and industrial remodeling and new construction services, and only use the best in-class products with the top installers. Get $1,000 off with the Illini Guys discount. Why HX? They're experienced, in business since 1950. They're respected, an A rating from the Better Business Bureau, and over 100 five-star reviews on Google. They're elite. They use only top materials like James Hardy siding. I have Hardy plank on my own home. It's durable, looks good, and increased the value of my home. Marvin Windows, hail-proof Euro Shield roofing, and much more. And they finish on time. None of this stuff sitting in your driveway weeks after they were supposed to be done already. The Illini Guys discount is available to anyone listening to this message. Their number is 224-880-6000, and their website, hxhomesolutions.com. be sure to mention the Illini guys to get your discount. HXHomeSolutions.com.
Fans of Big Sports Radio and Sports Spectacular Podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Well, joining us now to talk more about this Illini basketball team is our friend of the show. Welcome back. He is remains the all-time leading scorer in Illini history, Deion Thomas. Good to see you, my friend.
Barry, thank you for having me, man. It's always a pleasure to sit down with you guys.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this season that, and I want to, you know, obviously, for some of our listeners, we are recording this interview before the Missouri game, the bragging rights game, but I want to just very quickly, you know, this game has changed a little bit. For a while, it was a battle with two top 15 teams every year. Hasn't been that in a while, but tell us about just the significance again of this game and for both of these programs.
Well, you know, this is one of, in my opinion, one of the best rivalries in college basketball. As you mentioned, years past, especially when I was playing, I'll just give you a little brief synopsis. It's called the bragging rights now. It was the border war when we were in school. So that'll tell you how deep the roots go with these two programs. You know, in the past couple of years, you know, we've had so many new faces on both teams. I think that, you know, these young people don't realize how in depth and how deep the rivalry goes between Illinois and Mizzou. It was even back when, you know, both football and basketball was having these games, as well as girls basketball. So now it's just on the basketball side right now, but they're going to restart a home and home, I believe, on the football side. But this is one of the best rivals, in my opinion, in the country. And in the Midwest, for sure, you know, and it just doesn't get as much hype as it used to. As you said, you know, previously it was all normally top 25 teams going at one another. At one point or another, we have been ranked when Mizzou has not been, and they went through a little bit of a struggle. So I think it really toned down on their side. You know, the Illini fans were still crazy, and we would fill up the majority of the stadium even when Mizzou fans weren't showing up. But now you have two very good coaches. As you know, over the last couple of years, Mizzou has beat Illinois in this game, and it's kind of springboard their career. You got Dennis Gates, who's the head coach over at Mizzou. He's a Chicago kid, so he recognizes – I shouldn't call him a kid. He's no longer a kid. Yeah, he's from Chicago.
He grew up in the city. That's right.
Yeah, so he understands and recognizes, you know, being from the state, how big this game is. And, you know, last couple of years he's had his troops ready, and Illinois was not, and they lost this game. So it's going to be another, you know, for lack of a better term, slobber knocker or a rock fight or whatever you want to call it, because it's a very, very intense rivalry, but I will say a good one.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, obviously I think the same would go for Mizzou, but I think for Illinois, it is a chance for the staff to keep the players focused. And you've got some players now like Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon and, you know, a couple of others that have, you know, Luke Goody that have been in this before can say, no, this, they may not be ranked, but it this doesn't matter. It's not just a non-conference game. You really need to dial in and stay. And I thought the Colgate game was perfect against a team expected to win their conference, their league, the Patriot League, to way to kind of wake the guys up and say, you got a good opponent coming. And here's another one as well. You need to be focused for this game.
You know, one of the great things, and Brad said about this team, is that they're now old, you know, and that, as you mentioned, Coleman Hawkins, who's a senior now, Terrence Shannon, who's a fifth year senior, but you also have Luke Goody, who has been through this game, but you have Quincy Guerre, who, yes, has not played in this game before, but has played in other big games, being a fifth-year senior, as well as Marcus Dumas, playing in other big games. So you have guys that I think will understand and really get a get the understanding of what this is about. And you're right, that game against Colgate, a team that should win their conference, will possibly win a game in the NCAA tournament. People do not be shocked. Illinois played well, but you saw how they rebounded in that second half before Illinois was able to pull away. Very good team to lead up into a game that's going to be a dogfight. Mizzou's going to come out and try to win. You know, we have the trophy that has been sitting down in their offices for the last couple of years after residing in Champaign for about 7 years in a row. So, yeah, I expect this to be a big fight, you know, a big game fight almost. Yeah. Speaking of where I'm from, a huge fight back and forth, a battle between two, you know, really good teams. Illinois probably right now, of course, being, depending on which poll you look at, as high as 11 and as low as 16. And this Mizzou team not being ranked, but having played some really good teams. You know, they dropped one to Kansas, dropped to Seton Hall, but those weren't blowouts. I mean, those teams have played hard, and they're trying to find who they are with so many new faces as well. Illinois just has maybe a little bit of the edge right now, but when you're playing down in the St. Louis and you're playing in this game, records go out the window, and those guys are going to come in there fighting. Illinois needs to be prepared for the same thing.
Talk with Deion Thomas here on the Sports Spectacular presented by IlliniGuys.com. And you mentioned, you know, the older players that Brad has gotten. He's always talked about his motto always is get old and stay old, right? And last year you had a lot of young players and had some issues with this team that I think really were exposed in December. You know, you come off the Texas win in overtime in New York and they, okay, here we go. And then here comes Penn State and the almost upset at home at Alabama A&M and then Missouri and the wheels began to come off a bit. Talk about this team, 8-2, as you mentioned, ranked as high as 11, 13 right now in the Associated Press poll. What is different that you see? Obviously, the age is one thing and older players.
Yes.
But Brad Underwood seems extremely comfortable and excited about this team as much as any team he's had, dare I say, even the IO teams. What is it about this team that's so different from your position?
Well, it starts off with that age factor. And I know we've beat that over the head like a dead horse, but it starts off with that. When you're a coach, and I coached for 8 years, and not to mention the numerous coaches that I played for, with this team, and I've talked to Brad about this, and he was like, Deion, I only have to tell these guys one time. He was like, and they get it. And then they go right to work, you know, trying to get done what I've told them they need to do. They have set a level and an expectation for themselves, which translates to the other players on the team. You only get that when you get older. You only get that when you have some experience. You understand when and how to make game play, you know, game winning plays. And to be honest, most people might not want to hear this. You understand how to steal a few minutes and get some rest when you're out there on the court. So there's just a lot of nuances that you learn the older you get. But for me, the most important factor is between last year's team and this year's team, Larry, is I didn't believe last year's team had a leader. I felt like they were a rudderless ship, you know, out on the ocean. One way they would pull one way, they pull another way. If they were up and they were winning, everyone looked good. If they were down, then they were scratching their heads trying to figure out what they were going to do or which direction they were going to go. Terrence Shannon has seriously stepped up. He has taken control of this team from a vocal standpoint, as well as we all know from the numerous stories done on him, his work ethic. So now he's been able to combine the two. Last year, I thought he, you know, was leading by how hard he was doing things. This year, he's become a lot more vocal. But also, Luke Goody has being back on the court has, you know, and he's a natural leader. Ty Rogers, another kid that's a natural leader that has, you know, another year up under their belt. So you have leadership on this team. And then, of course, you have Terrence Shannon Jr. That is the guy. And I think everyone recognizes that, and I think they follow that, you know, and I think Brad leans on him as well as those other guys a lot. And as Quincy Guerre said, it's about knowing your role, believing in your role, and being the best at your role. And I think a lot of those guys that are buying into that and beginning to understand that. And that's why this Illinois team has progressed.
You know, I think that's a great, excellent observation. And I would agree with that, that I think last year, to your point, everyone wanted Terrence to the fans wanted him to be the alpha, but it's tough to come in with somebody else's team with established players and be that. He's been here for a full year. So now it is his team. He's more comfortable. And I think, again, it's just me observing. It seems like, to your point, the other players around him, they're okay with that. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but if you had other newcomers, other freshmen last year, may have said, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, why can't I be the alpha? You know, and now, you know, if you're the alpha, that means everyone else understands they're the beta. And you have to have that. And I think that you're right. You see other players compliment. You see Damasco off for 33 against FAU. You see Quincy Guerriere have a great game at Tennessee. You know, other players have stepped up. Hawkins comes up big against Colgate. You see other players stepping up so that even if Terrence's shot is off or like against Colgate, he's shut down the second half, spending a lot of energy on defense. Other guys step up and it's just, it's a team win. Nobody's looking,
right,
you know, for the championship belt and look at me. It's hey, we got the win. Let's move on to the next one.
No, and I think you're 100% right with that. And that's what makes championship teams. It's not, you know, you've heard this old expression, the name on the back is not as important as the name on the front. And I believe that's where we are right now. There was some of that last year. And I've told people before, you know, because of the inner turmoil, I won't go into what those things was. Last year was Brad Underwood's best coaching year. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he got us to 20 wins or into the NCAA tournament, but he did it. And I am thankful to him and the staff for, you know, all the hard work that they had to do last year. But I think it has given us a better and given them a better insight on how to improve the team. And they went right out and they did that. And I think this is where they're sitting. But you know, with all that being said, it's really how the guys on the court react to one another. Because as a coach, you can yell, you can scream, you can hug, you can, you know, chew people out, you can do all of those things. But if the players on the court aren't holding each other accountable and holding themselves as an individual accountable, then none of that actually works. So to see, as you mentioned, everyone recognizing that Terrence is the alpha, but yet at the same time, not taking offense to that, but yet honoring that, taking grasp of that, and just making sure that they're the best at whatever coach is asking them to do, I think is what has, what one sets this team apart from last year's Orc team, but what also makes them very dangerous going into the remainder of the Big Ten season as well as the NCAA season.
And I think to your point, and I would agree with that, that, you know, everyone knows Purdue is Purdue, and that's, you know, coming up here already a couple of weeks. I mean, it's hard to think, you know, that big early season showdown. Can't overlook Northwestern either on the second, but at Purdue coming up here on the fifth. But I think you're right that I think that for me, I going into this Big Ten season, I'm more optimistic than I was last year because just like you said, just even from an observation, it's just a different feel. And I think you've made some great points there. I want to talk before I let you go about, you know, the current situation, NIL, transfer portal. Right now, football's in the middle of that. What's the latest and how that has evolved? And again, in terms of today's players, and it seems like there's so much more on coaches right now that you have to constantly re-recruit your players and then try to go get other players. And then now it's legal to make deals with them and how that goes. And wanted to get your thoughts on the latest on how that's going.
Well, I'll say, well, one of the first things I'll say is I do not envy coaches today.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons Jay Wright was like, oh, I'm out of here is because, you know, you just don't know how this thing was going to turn out in the beginning. I've had people ask me, Deion, do you miss coaching, Larry? And I swear, before they get the words out of their mouth, I'm telling them no, simply because of all of the things that coaches today have to deal with. You're 100% right. They do have to recruit their players all year. And you have to go into this with an understanding of, you know, you have to recruit the right kids. You have to recruit kids that are going to, one, deal with your type of coaching, your level of coaching, that's not going to get their feelings hurt if they're not playing major minutes in the beginning, because everyone is stepping in. A lot of these kids are stepping into college sports thinking that they should be it right away. So that's the difference between when I came in. You know, I was the number three player in the nation. But when I stepped on the court at Illinois, I understood this was Andy Kaufman and Larry Smith's team. And I would get in where coach told me to fit in. And I don't think a lot of the young people are not like that today. And I think that's one of those things that can kind of throw a monkey wrench into work, as we saw with some of that last year. But NIL is the name of the game. I mean, it is super important for any university that really wants to compete at a high level. I would hope that, you know, universities are doing it the right way, because there are rules that are set by the NCAA. One, you can't use it as a recruiting inducement. And two, the kids actually have to perform some sort of duty in what they're doing, which is one of the things that, you know, I'm proud about the way the University of Illinois is doing. So with Kathleen Knight at the head as the CEO of ICON, we have a robust program at Illinois. And her team and company are working really hard to continue to do things the right way, but yet to make sure that the kids are getting what they need and how they need it, you know. And one of the things that I like that I've heard that is different than other programs, that I've seen that's different than what other programs is doing, is the kids at Illinois, whether it's football or basketball or any of the other sports, are all doing things within the community. Mm-hmm. So they're going out, you know, they had a really big, one of the highest most donations, at the food bank, the Midwestern Food Bank. And they've done some other things where they've had some donations come in for other not-for-profits. So it's been great watching them go to work. And I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of those things come across Twitter. But if not, please take a look at them, because she's doing a wonderful job over there. ICON's doing a great job. But it's one of those things I believe in, and I think is a necessity. And, you know, when I was in school, there were times, and I tell people this all the time, I sat in my dorms and had nothing to eat. No one wants that for any kid, especially one that's out there, you know, risking injury, risking bodily harm. If you're risking your life if you're on the football field, you know, to have to go back to their dormitory, their apartment, and not have anything. And this is one of those programs, you know, NIL, that helps in that manner, you know, because now these kids can earn money off of their name, image, and likeness. But at the same time, it keeps kids in school. You know, some of those that are on the border, you know, Terrence Shannon could have taken the leap into the NBA last year, but no, he came back to Illinois. He will have his master's degree this spring from the University of Illinois. Now he's truly alumni, not just one that came in and bounced the basketball. But it, you know, there are several parts of this that, if done right, these kids can really benefit. One, financially; two, academically, which is the most important part of that. You know, so that's a good thing about NIL. Now, with the transfer portal, as you mentioned, there are pluses and minuses to that as well. And I love for the kids to have options, you know, and before, when I was in school, if you transferred out, you had to sit immediately. Now these young people can transfer, and they were, with the new ruling that just hit one of the courts, they're immediately eligible, no matter how many times they transfer. That I don't like. And I don't think that is the right way to, one, conduct themselves, do things. What happened to loyalty? What happened to me, you know, living by my word? You transfer the first time, okay, you can make a mistake and choose a school. You can have a coach be quite honest that it was not honest with you and didn't tell you the truth about your role and how it looked on that team. Who's know what happens with someone's family and you want to, you know, or you get to a school and realize it's just not for you. Okay, fine. You should be able to transfer back to where you need to go. Now, with this new rule, they can transfer it a second time and not have to sit out. We'll see how that goes. I look at, when I was coaching, I would look at kids jump from AAU team to AAU team, or high school team to high school team. I look at the big picture, Larry, and how, you know, we teach young men to be men and how we teach women to be women. You know, you're supposed to stand on your word, you know, and this kind of takes that out of the equation, I believe. But we'll see what happens down the line. I hope these things are, you know, can correct themselves, and that no one, none of these kids really get hurt, because we have a huge issue already with kids being left in the transfer portal. I think this will exasperate that issue, and who gets hurt in the end is the young people. It's not, you know, the schools or the NCAA. So I just hope this really gets looked at and gets put in the proper light and under the microscope, and they figure out a way so that these young people don't get hurt, but yet they can still continue to live out their dreams.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Not in favor of the second free transfer, if you will, without the penalty of sitting out, for all the reasons you've mentioned. And sadly, one of the stories that goes most unreported in athletics these days is, you're right, those players who enter the portal, and when the music stops, there's no chair to sit in. And
you're exactly
right. And I think with the other piece too, that I know you would agree with me with, is that there's the academic piece. If you keep transferring schools, you may be losing credits, or, you know, there are some issues in terms of every school sees their curriculum for their degree in a different way. And so you run into that risk as well. It's just, it's very messy. And I'm with you that I hope it gets corrected. And part of life, whether you're in college or not, is adversity. And sometimes decisions that don't go the way that you want them to. Most people, when you get in the real world, you can't just up and just move. That doesn't happen for most of us. So you're right. Hey, Dion, I've kept you way too much, man, but happy holidays to you and your family. Always good to talk with you, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you, my friend. Happy holidays to you and yours as well. You know, enjoy yourself, brother. It's always good to connect with you.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see you and give you some dap next Illinois game.
All right, there. Sounds good.
All right. Deion Thomas, Illini all-time leading scorer, turned broadcaster, and again, does so many things at university. And we are always happy when he spends some time with us. Stay with us. This is the Illini Guys Radio Network.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Welcome back. How about the Giants coach, the Giants coach, Giants quarterback, and the rookie from Illinois, Tommy DeVito? He's continued, his legend just continues to grow. How about this? Not only the, you know, having some success, although he didn't have a good weekend last weekend on the field, but even off the field, this appearance at a pizzeria that he ended up showing up for free. Do you guys read about this?
Yeah. It's funny. These stories are great. I mean, it just goes to show you how crazy it is as a professional athlete during this time when you're like hyped. I mean, people lining up for blocks to meet you at a local pizzeria who's paying you, you know, originally you're going to pay you $10,000, $20,000, whatever it is, to have an appearance. And then you end up doing it for free over an online flap. I mean, it's just a crazy world we're living in right now. And Tommy DeVito is loving his life, but also I think it's becoming a bit overwhelming for him off the field. You know, all the, you know, I know he got upset about, you know, he's tired of the kind of the Italian American jokes a little bit, all these different things. And so all the NFL players going back at him with all the Italian stuff when they make a sack. So, you know, I guess that's the price of fame.
I just want to know what I did wrong in past lives that I can't be paid $10,000 to show up at a pizza joint and get free food while I'm there. Somehow life has betrayed me.
Yeah. Mike, you, the thing about you, you go to a pizza joint, they couldn't pay you $10,000 and give you pizza, because the equivalent would be like, that's like $20,000.
And the sad thing is, Brad, they would go, look, dude, you either get the pizza or you get the money. I'd probably go, I'll take the pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the problem is they have no pizzas to give out. So the people leave, and so they don't make any money. And so
yeah, exactly.
Larry, if people wanted to talk to a cynic, they would turn on different radio shows.
Very good. Well, we have been cynical about the future of the Pac-12, and certainly with, you know, 10 members leaving, and we now know what the other two are about to be doing. It appears that in the non-rev sports, and basketball that Oregon State and Washington State, left high and dry by the other Pac-12 schools, will be joining the West Coast Conference. So they'll be playing Gonzaga and Pepperdine and St. Mary's. This is going to just be a weird basketball season next year when this happens.
Yeah, I think they're looking for games. I mean, the one thing about, regardless of what happens with the conference, you know, where they're going to, they may get a lot of money from the Pac-12 and get that leftover whatever's in the account or whatever, because they are the Pac-12 now, right? But at the end of the day, you still got to play somebody too, right? You have to have teams you can play. It can't be two teams. They can't play each other 30 times. And there's our conference. We both went 10 and 10 against each other.
Have they just figured out what the rest of college football is going to do in terms of football breaks away? And so the Big Ten conference may end up being all the Big Ten schools, you know, in a everything but football. And then you have that breakaway Big 64 or something like that. I mean, I just wonder if we're seeing a sliver of what the future is going to look like.
Location, market size is everything. And I think if we're realistic about this, no matter how badly we want them to find a landing spot like Stanford, Cal did, and the other schools, you're still in Corvallis and you're still in Pullman at the end of the day. And therefore, you are outcast in today's marketplace. It's just the way it is. So I think that it's the saving grace for them is that they'll be recognized as a two-team conference, right? The next couple of years, there's a grace period there. There is allegedly a war chest of, you know, nine-figure war chest, right? Like a couple hundred million dollars that the 12 has. That's theirs. So it gives them some time. They may come out to where they go and just dominate, you know, these other, they go to the Mountain West and dominate that in football and go to the West Coast Conference and they dominate, because even though they'll have the current TV money, they've got so much money in the bank already. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch. And it's going to be, they're going to be a part of the future changes, because we're not done changing, right? I mean, there's more craziness going to happen in this conference realignment.
All right. Well, for some of you, we continue. For others, we end the game here. Happy holidays to you. Thanks. And take care.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Okay, the early signing period is over. National Signing Day, time to go to the Godfather and find out just how Illinois did. Mike Farrell, he's a member of the team on IlliniGuys.com. Always great to have him on the show as well here in the Sports Spectacular. Mike, happy holidays. Happy signing day season. You know, thanks for you know, taking some notos, stay up with us for a little bit. I'm sure it's a time that you want to sleep once that gets passed. This Illini team, we were talking to Matt Stevens of IlliniGuys.com about Illinois holding on to these recruits as a pretty decent recruiting class for them, despite not having a season that they were hoping for. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Bielema targets different types of guys. You know, he's all about character. He's all about commitment. He's all about loyalty. You know, he wants guys that are going to run through a wall, and he did his homework. You know, he knew these guys chose Illinois for the specific reason. A lot of them committed before the season started. He didn't warn them. He didn't say, hey, we're not going to, you know, have the season we had last year. You know, things weren't as successful as last season. It wasn't as exciting as last season. I think a lot of us knew that was coming. But, you know, what he prefaced in his, you know, speeches to the commitments as they were signing on, is not signing on, but verbally committing, like, you know, this is it. You know, stick with us. We have a vision for you. We know how we're going to utilize you. We know how you're going to impact the team. You know how you can make us better. And, you know, I'm an old school guy. I'm going to be loyal to you. I just need you to be loyal to me. And it kind of works. He's a different cat. I mean, he's just a different dude when it comes to recruiting. He's very antiquated in his approach, the secrecy. Everything about it, you know, reeks to me of 2006, 2007 when I started, not 2006, 1997 when I started. back then, everything was, you know, hush, hush, quiet. And, you know, I'm a loyal guy. You're a loyal guy. You commit. Commitments, you know, it's a 40-year commitment, blah, blah, blah. He's that type of guy. And the kids bought into it this year. And then, you know, to his credit, it's a pretty solid class.
Is there a guy that when you look on this Illinois recruiting class that maybe stands out? Is it maybe a really good get, or maybe a sleeper diamond in the rough type?
I like Tyshawn Griffin. I think he's, you know, he's tad underranked in the industry because they need speed. They need catch and run speed. That's one of the things. If you're not going to, you know, we know the buzz, Tommy DeVito is getting the NFL and all that, and that's fine. And that's going to help, you know, quarterback recruiting down the line for sure. But if you're not going to bring in like elite quarterbacks, you're not going to bring in gunslingers, you're not going to bring in guys that are going to be first round, second round, third round NFL draft picks, which they're not going to do, you know, consistently, they don't do that. You're going to need guys that make them look better. And that, you know, there's two ways to bail out a quarterback. You have a big receiver who's a 50-50 guy, you know, maybe that's or in this class, but he's too raw to say that. Or you get a guy who can turn a 3-yard slant into a 30-yard gain or even better than that. And that's what Tyshawn Griffin can do. He's got speed. He's got shiftiness, explosiveness. That is what this offense has been lacking. And I think he's going to help provide that.
What did you think of Khalil Valentine? He's a guy who could have went just about anywhere on the West Coast, but chose to come and play at Illinois. Seems like a dynamic player. What was your thoughts on him?
And this is stupid. I don't want anybody to think that this is a comparison, but he's a poor man's Bijan Robinson. So the reason I say that is because he's from Arizona. He's got a similar running style to him. He can catch the football. He can make you miss in space. You know, he reminds me of him. Now, Bijan Robinson was a consensus 5-star kid. It was an Ohio State Texas battle for him. He was a 3-and-out for sure. First round draft pick. None of that is what I'm seeing in Khalil Valentine right now. But I think he's an extremely good pickup because he's versatile in this offense. You know, we saw what Chase Brown can do. I think he can do some of that. It's funny because Chase Brown was utilized in a way that didn't really emphasize his speed as much. It was his patience, his vision, and things like that. And then you see him in the NFL, and you're like, who's that guy? He's really, really fast. That's not what they're, you know, really focusing on here. The way Bielema's offense works, it's, you know, patient running, find the hole, you know, and have vision. You know, everybody wants a guy who's going to turn, you know, around the edge and try to hit a home run every time, but that's not going to work. And you're going to have, you know, negative rushing yards on attempts when you do that. He wants guys that are going to, you know, have the vision to find the hole, fall forward, gain yardage after contact. And I think so that's what Valentine will do.
Talking with Mike Farrell. He's the godfather of college football recruiting. And again, a member of the Illini Guys team. You know, Bielema, as you know, as well as anybody, obviously, I mean, it's all about the guys up front and the offensive linemen. You know, he got some guys and, you know, AJ Dennis in particular, that was a former Michigan State commit that comes in as a 4-star kid. It felt like that he got some pieces. Eddie Turk, somebody who's an All-American out of the Chicago area that maybe can play sooner than later, or they've got a higher ceiling. Your thoughts in terms of what he did on both sides of the line with this class?
You know, Dennis was one of their first targets in this class, you know, at the offensive line. He was a guy that they really wanted. They went after him hard. They offered early. Michigan State ended up keeping him in state. Things fell apart at Michigan State. They benefit from that. You know, he flips to them. It's just he's 6'5", 275. He's got to fill out a little bit. He's not physically ready to play, and Bielema doesn't play freshman offensive lineman. Just doesn't. He's going to have to start, you know, because we're in a day and age, and this is going to be interesting to see the development of Brett Bielema as a coach to adapt to what we're living in now. What we're living in now is more than ever. Now that kids can make money now, and offensive linemen don't make, you know, great NIL money. And they're really not about that as much as the skill position players. But still, you know, if you sit a year, there's people in your ear saying you're wasting a year, you're wasting a year, you got to play. Why aren't you playing? Getting that portal. There's people tampering left and right, you know, contacting these kids and say, why are you still there? Let's go. So more and more, it's important to, you know, give freshmen an opportunity, even at positions where you're uncomfortable to do so. And I think we saw this past season, his hesitancy to play offensive linemen as young guys, that's going to have to change. And I'm not saying Andrew Dennis is ready to be a starter. I'm not saying he's ready to be in rotation, but he's going to have to get a long look because he's the highlight of this offensive line class by far. It's not close. He's the best player. And probably over the last 2 years in these classes, he's the best offensive line prospect they've gotten. So, you know, that being said, he was promised playing time from other schools, and I think he's going to be getting a real shot here. I'm not really sure that they're looking for guys in the portal on the offensive and defensive line. I think they're looking for more mature and physically ready players. So some of these guys are developmental guys. Josiah Knight is you know, a guy who I think, you know, could play early because of the depth situation on the defensive line. Probably isn't ready to, but might benefit from learning on the fly. But I think the skill position kids and a lot of the speed in this class is really going to help impact more than anything. They needed defensive backs. They got some good ones. As I mentioned, you know, Valentine's a good running back. Griffin's a speedy wide receiver. Orr's a big kid. I think those are the guys you can see get on the field early.
One, you know, we mentioned the position where, you know, quarterback position. Illinois probably got the, I would guess, the highest rated quarterback of the Brett Bielema era in Trey Petty, you know, at Mississippi. And now, obviously, he's not ready to come in and play right away, and he shouldn't have to. But at the same time, what are your thoughts on him as a long term?
Well, he might have to. the depth at the QB room isn't. It's not great. And it's not like, you know, they took the high school kid out of Oklahoma last year. He's solid. I think he was ranked lower than he should be. But, you know, again, wasn't heavily recruited. Altmaier, who knows? I mean, it didn't look great his first season. There's just not a lot of proven guys. And if Trey Petty can, you know, come in there and be a dynamic addition, the dual threat aspect of his game has really improved quite a bit. He's become much a better runner. He wants to run. He's not a run first guy, but when I first scouted him, he was a pro style quarterback who could run. Now he's a dual threat for sure because he can drive defenses crazy. I'm not saying he's ready to play right away. I'm not saying any of this stuff because, again, Bielema's old school. But, you know, in this day and age, again, if you want to keep a quarterback, you play a quarterback. And there's going to be a lot of people looking at this kid and saying, okay, you went to Illinois. That was fun. You didn't play. Let's get in the portal. So I think it's going to be, he's going to get a little bit more of a look early than we would see. This is advancing so fast because we're going to have unlimited transfers now in the portal. That's coming up. NIL is getting out of control. And I think we're getting to the point now where, you know, scholarships have all been year to year and they've just been, you know, honored for 4 years. The scholarships are truly year to year now on both sides because these kids are like employees now. If they're not working out for you, you can push them to the portal. If they're, you know, if you're not utilizing them properly, they can leave you. So I think Trey Petty's going to get an earlier look than many think.
You know, Bielema's clearly done some work on establishing a Florida connection to Illinois. Is that something that you think is going to continue to pay off for Illini in recruiting? And you know, what are your thoughts on that overall?
I think it's big for, you know, a lot of Big Ten teams have been doing this. You've seen it from Iowa. You've seen it from Minnesota, Wisconsin. You know, it's not even spot recruiting Florida. You just have to have a presence down there. And a three-star in Florida who doesn't get the offers he wants down south could play like a four-star in the Midwest. And that's not saying that there's just that much better talent there. But sometimes these kids, you know, they get overlooked. They get under-recruited. You know, they're not getting the big SEC and ACC offers that they want. They come up and they're hungry and they want to prove something. Unfortunately, now they can do that and then go back down south. But back in the day, they couldn't do that. You know, and back in the day, I'm talking like, I don't know, 5 years ago. And they would have to establish themselves up in the cold weather in the Midwest to play a different brand of football where they might be faster, you know, and sort of stand out with their speed than they did down south. So I think it's an important area to recruit for every team. Now, you know, Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, they're going after the big, you know, game hunters. You have to be able to evaluate properly, you know, pick and choose. They went on a couple kids, you know, Woodward is an example of that not everybody was, you know, recruiting heavily and they liked them, but they've had success at defensive back doing that before, as we know. And they've gotten their defensive backs from all over the place. So I think it's going to be definitely an area they continue to try to recruit. And the best part about it, too, is now that you're recruiting for two reasons. You're recruiting to get kids to come to your school. but you're also portal recruiting. And by that, I mean, if you're down there in Florida and you're recruiting some kids and they don't end up going to your school, it doesn't matter because they could be in the portal in a year. So you maintain those relationships with the high school coaches and all that stuff. So if you have a good presence in Florida, you're going to benefit in the high school recruiting field, but you're also going to be able to say, hey, you know, I see you jumped in the portal, remember me, and have that relationship established. So it's more important than ever to be down in that state.
You got about a minute left here, and I want to ask you one question that we've talked about ourselves even earlier in the show. We discussed this. Do you see this, and this is kind of Mike's idea, we give him credit for this, do you see this early signing period possibly moving up to a preseason like in August or something, just to kind of free this December calendar with the portal opening, with the expanded playoffs and all the NIL stuff? Do you see that change anywhere in the future, or is this kind of the way it's going to be for a while?
Well, it should. And I think, you know, when there was talk of an early signing period, that this was, you know, we had talked about an early signing period as early as 2004, 2005, when recruiting started getting crazy and the first Wednesday of February became insane. You know, everybody talked about early signing period. And my initial take on it, and has been for whatever, 20 years, it should be in August. A lot of those kids, you know, commit during the summer. They know where they want to go. Now, you can have stipulations if your head coach leaves, you know, obviously, then, you know, similar to the portal. If your head coach leaves, you can jump in the portal immediately. Same thing. If you're committed to a school and your head coach leaves, well, you're not committed anymore. And you're not signed anymore if you sign in August. But that's the calendar. So now, last year was ridiculous in December, and coaches complained about it incessantly. So what they did is, stupidly, the NCAA reduced the window from 45 days to 30 days, figuring, okay, you know, let's jam all this activity into a smaller window, but at least give them a 15-day break from last year. It hasn't worked. It's as bad as it's ever been, and it's probably worse than last year. So I think the coaches are going to make that decision. And if they push for an early signing period, August makes a lot of sense to me, and then have your second one in February, and then have your portal, you know, in December. So you have three different windows where you're actively focusing on those areas.
Yeah. And I know, talking to some kids, we've talked about this, that a lot of the players, that 17, 18 year old kids, are saying they'd like to kind of have it out of the way before their senior year, if that's possible. Those kids who are highly recruited like that. Mike Farrell, as always, we appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. And we can't wait to talk to you again here in the new year.
Sure thing. Anytime.
Appreciate it so much. Mike Farrell, again, he's the godfather of college football recruiting. His own website as well, MikeFarrellSports.com. But we are thrilled he's part of the Illini Guys and appears each week, three times a week, on IlliniGuys.com, one of the many benefits that we have to being an Illini Guy. You can be too. All right, stay with us. We'll pay some bills. We're back with more after this.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuys.com. Insider info on your favorite teams, analysis on the latest games, weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuys.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable, stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini Guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the Black Friday button, and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
Attention business owners. Have you filed for your employee retention credit and been approved? Are you now waiting for your refund check from the IRS? Instead of waiting months to a year plus, how would you like to get your ERC money in about 10 days? Now you can. With ERCMoneyUpfront.com, we help business owners that have filed their employee retention credit and been approved to get their money faster. If you're getting between $75,000 and $5 million, we could get you up to a 70% advance on that money in about 10 days. To learn more about how you can get your ERC money faster, call this number right now. Speak with one of our funding specialists and have a text sent to your cell phone with details.
800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419.
This is not a loan product except in California. An offer is not available in the state of Massachusetts.
Brad Peck here in the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com, and this segment presented by HX Home Solutions. We appreciate the $1,000 Illini Guys discount they give every single time you call. You got a project, Chicagoland area, or if your friend does, it's okay. Mention Illini Guys, get $1,000 off your project, HX Home Solutions. A little hoops now, and we were talking in the break just now about Florida Atlantic. The Owls jumping over to the American Athletic Conference after their big Final Four run last year. You know, we were saying that, you know, big game this weekend in Vegas against number four Arizona. That's huge. They've already beaten a 12th ranked Texas A&M team, lost to Illinois, another ranked team in New York. And now here they're playing Arizona. But guys, they kind of have to, because they're in a stronger conference than they were before. But still, it's one that they're going to just be overwhelming and dominant in that conference, and may have a seed that doesn't reflect just how good they really are.
Yeah, because they don't have, unless they win this game against Arizona, their only chance for left on the schedule for quality wins are the Memphis games, which are not until February 25th and March 9th, or maybe they play Memphis the third time in the conference tournament. But yeah, they do have one bad loss, and you know, if you have like one top 50 win or two top 50 wins for the entire year, it's hard to rank them, get them a high seed, even if they're like 30-4 or something like that heading into the NCAA tournament. And so they're like an 8-9, and you're like, wait, we have to play them? They were in the Final Four last year, and we win our first game, and that's how we get to the Sweet 16? Yuck.
Yeah, they almost have a exacerbated problem worse than what Gonzaga's had over the years. And you have to really be aware of that, I guess, prior to the season, and you have to schedule a little different. And then you can't just play the big teams. You got to beat one or two of them. It's an interesting conundrum for a team like that, you know, and God help the team who gets stuck with them in the NCAA tournament.
And what if they lose in their conference tournament, you know, and yeah. You know, if they, you know, Memphis wins those games against them, you could legitimately see a 28-6 team that has went out and, you know, beat some games. They're going to be, they would be very, I mean, it'd be difficult to put them in against teams that have more quality wins.
Yeah, if their net ranking is down. And by the way, after the Arizona game, 15 straight games they'll play largely in conference before they face Memphis the first time. They play the Tigers twice in the final 2 weeks of the season. So, yeah, they're going to have an inflated win total without really playing anybody. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hey, a little NBA news. Draymond Green, we haven't talked much about him. He's 33 years old, gray in his beard, and he is now in counseling, trying to earn his way back onto the court. Such a bizarre story, and I really hate this because he's a player I always rooted for as a second round pick. But dude, I think this step is overdue.
It is, and you know what what's happened to him is he's become he's a great story for a long time, and now he's become kind of a sad story, because you're like, he went from being a guy that everybody kind of cheered for because he was a second round draft pick who turned himself into an all-star and won NBA titles. And now he's become like the goon in hockey that they send out to fight somebody. I mean, it's just, you know, he turned into Tony Twist at the end of his career.
You know, and I watched a video of all his different flagrant fouls through the years. And when you watch them, it gets less funny. And you almost wonder, like, is there a chance he could hurt somebody or get himself involved in a fight that turns into, you know, God forbid, like what happened at the Auburn Palace, you know, 20 years ago. And at some point, I guess, you know, you're like, and those films went back to, you know, hitting people at Michigan State. And I just wonder maybe if it's time to, you know, if you can't handle the pressure, maybe it's time to hang up the jersey.
And the money he's losing, giving up $150,000 per game missed. And I think after 10 games, that balloons like to something $220,000 or something. I mean, he stands to lose millions in this. And we forget that for all the rings that the Warriors have, there's the one they missed because it was Draymond who did the nut punch in game five against the Cavaliers. He misses game six. In that game, Andrew Bogut suffers an injury, misses game seven. The Cavs come back, win both of those games, and they take the series in seven. They come back from the 3-1 deficit. I mean, it's, you know, that's nothing too, is that, you know, I mean, he cost them the series. If he's active in game six, it's very hard for the Cavs to win that game and thus win the series.
Yep. No question. And that's when you're hurting your team, that's, I mean, the toughness all sounds cool until you hurt your team. And you know, Mike mentioned you could injure someone too, but I mean, I think it's always been like, well, he's about the team. Well, not so much.
Yeah. I can't argue that at all.
It's weird. Okay, guys. Since we began our little radio venture here, you know, 2.5 years ago, there are two guys we always said we wouldn't talk about, right? And those two guys are
LeBron James.
Yep.
Ben Simmons.
Yep. I'm breaking the rule. We've only talked about Ben once, but I thought we'd talk about this since it's the holidays. Let's break out the eggnog, shall we? Ben Simmons, does he even want to play? I mean, he's got the injured pinched nerve now, I know, and all that, but has not played in more than 58 games for the past almost five seasons. And it's almost like since he skipped the dunk in the playoffs against the Sixers against the Hawks, and the Hawks won that series, he's been like persona non grata. You know, remember he didn't want to play, and then the trade, and help me out. Help me understand this.
Well, here's what it is. It's like, you know, he's being paid $35 million a year to play. Like this year, he's played six games. I mean, he'll probably bid $1 million a game by the end of the season because he's going to miss, you know, for what he's missed. That's a good wage if you can get it. But you know, it just goes to show you how we tend to there. And it's happened multiple times where we give these guys like a max contract to keep them because of this, that, or the other. But as time goes on, the other team figures out what they can and can't do, and it becomes difficult. And I think it's a struggle for him. From some of it's a mental standpoint, obviously. And so it's just, he's almost like he's broken now. I mean, we've seen that with other guys where, remember Markelle Fultz couldn't shoot, just couldn't play hardly. I mean, now he's had some later on, but I mean, this has happened with guys who are taking the top of the draft and, you know, it's rough. And I know he's had some injuries too, but there's much more to it than just the injuries.
Well, the thing I keep doing is, you know, it's unfortunate that he doesn't seem to enjoy what he's been given these incredible gifts at doing. And you hate to see somebody who's not having any fun. And again, I know it's work, but if you don't like it, it's almost too bad you couldn't find some other part of life to get involved in. But, you know, the money's just too big, I guess.
Yeah.
Fourth year, a five-year, $177 million. His salary this season, $37.8 million, will bring his career earnings to over $160 million. It is staggering. Oh, to be 6'10", and to have just one team believe in you. Oh, well. Okay. We wish him well, and we hope that he hurries back and improves upon that 6.5 points per game average.
Odds are if we talk about him now, he's probably going to go on a run of like 30, 10, and 10 for the next rest of the season when he comes back and lead him to a title, right?
Yeah, he'll tweet at us. See?
he'll play our show every morning as motivation.
Motivation.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to.
I'll show you.
We're back with more. Stay with us.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Hi, Larry Smith here with details on a special Illini Guys deal with one of the premier home building and remodeling companies in Greater Chicago, HX Home Solutions. If you live in the Chicago area, or if you know someone who does, and your home or business is in need of attention, call HX. Tell them you're with the Illini Guys and get $1,000 off your project. They offer full residential, commercial, and industrial remodeling and new construction services, and only use the best in-class products with the top installers. Get $1,000 off with the Illini Guys discount. Why HX? They're experienced, in business since 1950. They're respected, an A rating from the Better Business Bureau, and over 100 five-star reviews on Google. They're elite. They use only top materials like James Hardy siding. I have Hardy plank on my own home. It's durable, looks good, and increased the value of my home. Marvin Windows, hail-proof Euro Shield roofing, and much more. And they finish on time. None of this stuff sitting in your driveway weeks after they were supposed to be done already. The Illini Guys discount is available to anyone listening to this message. Their number is 224-880-6000 and their website, hxhomesolutions.com. Be sure to mention the Illini Guys to get your discount, hxhomesolutions.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. That's 800-373-8414.
Fans of big sports radio and sports spectacular podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
This is Jack Trudeau, the all-time leading passer for the Illinois Fighting Illini, here on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular.
We're back right here, and I Mike, we got to talk about this massive contract. The Shohei Ohtani, 10 years, $700 million. That's a good chunk of change. He's out of my tax bracket. That's all I know.
You know, it's an amazing contract, especially when you defer 97-98% of it to roughly 10 years into the future. I wonder, that gives baseball plenty of time to put together rules to make it life uncomfortable for the Dodgers, especially, which I would assume if they win a lot, they may not be so beloved by the rest of their teams. And the other thing is this Ohtani pulling the ultimate Tom Brady, where he's taking, quote, less money for titles and really looking at getting rings? I don't know. What do you think, Brad?
Well, so it's interesting. So I had a chance to delve into this contract a little bit. So he gets $2 million in salary. The Dodgers then have to take $44 million and put it in escrow. So they have, and that will count against their tax. So they're basically paying him $46 million. Major League Baseball looks at this as a 10-year, $460 million contract, essentially. But what happens is if you take that $44 million over the next 10 years and you put it in and it's drawing interest and gaining that compound interest every year, it extrapolates to be $68 million a year for the last 10 years. So the reality is they're really, although they're deferring the payments going to him, they have to make whole. They have within 24 months, they have to make sure that it's fully funded. So they have to fully fund this contract within 48 months. So it's not as great when it looked like it, like, oh, well, they're only paying $2 million. So they can win for the next 10 years and then the money, but it really, they still have to fund it. So it's not quite as, it's still, a good deal. Don't get me wrong.
Two-year window, though, right?
Yeah, two-year window to get that in. But it's a much better – I mean, it's still – they got to pay a lot of money for him, and it's still going to count $46 million against that luxury tax that they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, and I would assume the rest of the owners, there's not going to be a real a ton of sympathy if something goes awry or this doesn't work out. I still have to give a lot of credit because this is a player – who is supremely confident in his skills and for good reason. And now he's putting all the chips in his own corner. I'm impressed by that.
Yeah. And he's going to make so much money off of endorsements that he's okay with that. And then the other thing is like, the other thing I found was interesting. There were other teams were offered the same deal or given the same option, but he picked the Dodgers over like the Giants, for example, who had the same option. So, there's a lot of money out there, evidently, in baseball. All right. Speaking of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Lakers win the first NBA Cup. Are we hanging a banner, Mike?
Well, I don't know. It kind of depends what LeBron wants. You know, we've heard since he was a small child that he wanted to be the MVP and win the NBA Cup. So now he's done it. So you can change your history around here if you want to. This is something that they're trying to create a tradition. So the bigger that LeBron makes it, the better it is. But I will say one thing. We keep hearing rumbles that the NBA wants to carve these games out and sell it for somewhere around $1 billion to a streamer. So the bigger that this is made by the players, the more important it'll be to the public. And the players have a very good reason in terms of growing the salary cap and making sure the cash keeps flowing to them. They have a reason to care about it above and beyond just the individual team winning.
Yeah, and the ratings were great for the in-season tournament. So obviously that's a good start, for them. And, they were NBA was, those players are really struggling with their day-to-day bank accounts. So yeah, it's important they got some more money there. Although there is one player who seems to be struggling with his bank account a little bit because he keeps losing money because he gets suspended, currently suspended indefinitely, Draymond Green for his trying to sell a call while punching the opponent. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Well, again, I'm thinking the Vince McMahon effect on the NBA is real, and somebody needs to tell Draymond that in the WWE, it's not an actual fight. It's just actors pretending to fight, and I don't know that he figured that out. So maybe they need to have a warning before all wrestling broadcasts saying that don't do this at home. It's not real, but don't hurt your friends. And maybe he could.
Mike, I think they already do that. But evidently, Draymond didn't watch that disclaimer. So he's using real tactics in the NBA. Yeah, I think this guy, he's just become almost a caricature. I mean, he's like almost become like a cartoon character, whatever you want to say. It's silly. He's a good basketball player. He's a guy who's been successful. He's won rings. He's won titles. He's been an all-star. Go out there and play hoops.
What is it about the power forward position that affects Dennis Rodman and him so similarly?
Well, Dennis Rodman gets more rebounds. I don't know. So that's all I know. I don't know. But they do act. If Draymond Green shows up in a wedding dress when he comes back, I think we got issues. So, anyway. All right. So, hey, that's it for Grab Bag. We'll be back after this. Talk a little bit more with Mike and I and Larry Smith on the Spectacular.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
We continue here on this holiday weekend. Larry, Brad, and Mike, we have been talking about the Michigan coaching saga. Boy, really, since back in August, guys. I mean, you know, here we are, Wolverines undefeated, going out of the college football playoff. We got a date with Alabama coming up here on New Year's Day. But they're still lingering, and it has not hurt the program at all on the field, this issue of the different allegations. And so this week, the NCAA guys finally sending Michigan that notice of allegations. This about the impermissible on and off campus recruiting. This has nothing to do with the latest Harbaugh suspension of the three games to end the season. This is something, the reason that Harbaugh was suspended for three games at the beginning of the season, just in case you're scoring at home.
Yeah, and then it goes back 3 years ago. So we're talking like during the pandemic of 2020. This is when they had some impermissible contact or text during a dead period. It's like, I mean, the NCAA is about as current as you know the 1950s right now. I mean, it's amazing how far behind they are. It's a notice of allegations that everybody knows he did this. But it's taken us 3 years to send a letter. Like, I don't know. It makes no sense at all. But it's why you see Jim Harbaugh linked to, like, every NFL job also, right?
You know, it's interesting. The NCAA's got a lot of issues, and Lord knows I've complained about them over the years. But, you know, if you're lying to an investigator, the fact that the NCAA is a bunch of idiots – doesn't give you an excuse to lie to the investigators. And so when I get a speeding ticket, I don't tell people that, you know, the Constitution's wrong. I whine about it like a little baby, and then I pay my money. And I just think in this case, you know, try to follow the rules, which seems to be something that Michigan just doesn't want to do right now. And I really wonder about the culture around that university, because the people leading the poor behavior are not the players. It's the coaching staff.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And here's where I think we all agree with this too. When you take years to investigate and bring this to light and actually make a decision on it, now then the argument becomes, well, you're hurting the players. These players weren't a part of that. And you're exactly right. But I guess here's the thing. So Michigan and Harbaugh, they self-imposed the three-game suspension beginning of the season. By the way, we should also say that the report here on Yahoo Sports we're looking at, so there's also a member of Michigan's off-field staff may have violated rules by doing some on-field coaching during practice. So there's another issue. There's so much here. I guess, do you feel in the end, and we don't know, as we don't know all the details, was that three-game suspension enough, self-imposed suspension? Then when they finally come to it, they'll just close the book on it, move on.
I think they're going to suspend Harbaugh to the NFL for 2 years. So 3 years, something like that. No, I don't know if it's enough. I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to do something, because this would definitely fall under a lack of institutional control. And it's not just – they still have the allegations about sign stealing that although the Big Ten has acted – the NCAA still hasn't done anything about that. Now, what will they do about that? I mean, because there's obviously evidence of this as well. So this is, I think Michigan's just they're really just kind of just thumbing their nose at the Big Ten or the NCAA, because right now the NCAA doesn't have any teeth. So I think everybody can do it. And so everybody is doing it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things as we see the landscape changing in conferences, there's some talk about conferences wanting more control. I feel like if you're the NCAA, you might want to step up and, I don't know, handle some rules, or you may find yourself completely out of a job because they're going to go do their own thing. So you're exactly right. We're back with more. Stay with us.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. That's 800-613-8053.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuides.com. Insider info on your favorite teams. Analysis on the latest games. Weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuides.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable. Stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuides.com. Click the Black Friday button and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation. 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
Hey, one quarterback entered the transfer portal that is not going to play football next year. Why? He's switching teams. Tyler Buchner going back to Notre Dame, not as a quarterback, but changing sports. He's now playing lacrosse, so he's an Irish once again without a helmet.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I'm you know, obviously he lost the quarterback battle to Jalen Milroe, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna go play some lacrosse. Probably takes less of a beating, and you know, it's pretty good deal for him. But he was he clearly was a really, really good lacrosse player too, coming out, and so decided to do that. This is like Michael Jordan going to play baseball, right? It's without all the accolades on the other sport. Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame him. You know, you find out, you go back again and find out that you're maybe a little bit better at one sport than the other. You're very good at two. Why wouldn't you go to the one that you like the most? It just seems too logical to me.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. What's strange is that he's going to stay with Alabama through the college football playoffs. So he'll be there another couple of weeks. Yeah.
Rings, baby.
Then he's going to Notre Dame, and he's going to join them for a season that starts like in February, but plans to graduate in May from Notre Dame. So how does that happen? By the way, we should say the Irish won the lacrosse national championship last year by beating Duke. So he's somebody who could conceivably win two national titles 4 months apart in two different sports for two different schools. Let's keep that in mind. So, okay. Hey, Deion Sanders, hot start, cool finish in his first year at Colorado, but Sports Illustrated naming him their sports person of the year. Do you agree?
No, I'm okay with it. Here's the thing that Deion did. He did change football, college football, with the use of the transfer portal and just the honesty that he approached it with. Like, yeah, our guys stink. Yeah, you know, we got to get new dudes. And so I think it made – it didn't – the turnaround isn't as fast as he would like or as many people would like. But You can see that they made strides, and he captured the nations. I mean, the fact that people were watching Colorado football like it was back when Sal Inez was, you know, playing and they were winning national titles. They were number one in ratings for weeks just because it was Deion on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm going to take the opposite version. If I was going to give a sports person of the year, I might go with the performance that Jokic has done. I think leading Denver to the title, and, you know, one could argue that he is turned into one of the top players of all time, at least for his peak, you know, and we've watched that evolution, which again, you know, led to a ring this year for a team that's had nothing but frustration in the playoffs when they get there. I would probably go with that versus Deion had an incredible effect. There's no doubt, but he wasn't able to, you know, maybe he might be more deserving in a year or two when he totally recycles that and all of his recruiting works the way he thinks.
Mike, I'll take the other side. I'll take that Jokic in Denver, and almost nobody talks about it, even though they won the title. Yet they still talk about Deion, even though they went 4-8. I mean, that's why I think it's just a different animal. He captured the media just loves the guy, and that's why the media is going to highlight him. Although I agree with you, Jokic is fantastic.
And yeah. I agree with you guys too, but I think here's the difference, and this is to Brad's point. He's a coach who netted 4 wins out of 12 games, but also brought $300 million worth of attention to Colorado, to the school. I mean, it's – but I agree with you, but I think that's the difference is that, yeah, he made all that buzz and won only 4 games. So, okay. Hey, speaking of not winning, DePaul, the longest streak among power schools of not reaching an NCAA tournament. Do you know the last time that they did this, Facebook was in its infancy? And Usher's song, Yeah, was big on the charts.
Yeah, DePaul's, it's a struggle bus. And, you know, I think even worse like than this, like, you know, I remember when Northwestern didn't make it forever, right? I mean, they hadn't made the NCAA tournament until they made it. But they at least had some good years mixed in there. In the case of DePaul, I mean, it's hard to think about when they actually were good. It's been so long since they were legit a player in college basketball. And they're in the big, and the weird part about it is they're in the Big East, and they're not even competitive. I mean, I'm sure they're going to win some game somewhere, but
Does it all go back to when they moved the games off campus, and that kind of started the slide? You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it was instantaneous, but they used to have that arena that, you know, the fans were literally sitting on top of the visitors. The people went, there were college kids there. It was crazy. They go out to Rosemont and all of a sudden, you know, it's just another suburban crowd, and they're, you know, the lower bowl isn't full. And I don't know, to me, it's like one bad management decision after another. And then, as we all know, you have to hire the right coach in college sports if you want to be a contender, and they haven't done that.
Well, and there was this guy named Jordan who came on and made the Bulls relevant in Chicago, and all of a sudden they faded away. No more blue teams. They were exercised over there on the west side. All right, we got to run. DePaul, good luck. Although it looks like the way things are going this year, we're going to give you the Cubs mantra. Wait until next year. All right, thanks for everybody who came by. Hope you have a very safe holiday weekend. Until we talk again. For Brad and Mike, I'm Larry. Take care. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the holiday. Be safe and be blessed. See you next time. ILL.
I-N-I.
This has been a presentation of LMBC Sports, LLC, and JM Talent Productions. We'll be back next week on the Illini Guys Radio Network on these same stations across Illinois.